wealthy man, a leader of the people of Israel. This man had come to Jesus by night. He wasn't too sure he wanted too many people to see him talk to Jesus. A lot of things were being said about this man of Galilee. He was about in his 30s, and he was basically preaching good news. He was telling people about the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus approached Jesus. And I don't know about you, but starting a conversation is not always something easy. Well, what do you talk about? The weather? How was your day? How was your week? And you start off by trying to see if the other person is even willing to respond, or even maybe smile at your question. And if they don't respond in that way, then you kind of shy away and say, well, good seeing you today, and we'll talk later. But this time it was Nicodemus who was coming to Jesus. And he had something in his heart that he needed to share with Jesus. But how do you start that conversation? And basically he started off by saying, Rabbi, we know you are a great teacher. You must come from God because of the things that you are teaching. Jesus could have engaged them and said, wait a second. I'm not just a teacher. You see, for Nicodemus, Jesus was not the Messiah. Jesus was not a prophet. And most of all, Jesus was not the Lord of his heart. But there was a question that Nicodemus had. A question that maybe you have today. What must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? What must I do to have eternal life? You see, when all is said and done, that's what really matters. Not how many things you have accomplished here on earth, as good as they might be. And Jesus understood that. He said, Nicodemus, I know you're not here to talk about me. But there's something that you want to know, and I'm going to share that with you today. Verily, verily, in the Greek it's amen, amen. I tell you, you must be born, or one, a man must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That took Nicodemus by surprise. Wait a second, what do you mean? Look at me, I'm not a kid anymore. How does this new birth happen? Do I go back into my mother's womb? And Jesus quickly responded, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you are born of water, unless you're born of the Spirit, a man will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus had heard about this birth by water. What is it called, Pathfinders? Baptism. He had heard a man by the name of John the Baptist. He had been preaching in the desert and saying, come out, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And people were flocking out to the desert, to the Jordan River, to be baptized by John. But this thing of born of the Spirit, what is that all about? And before he could even say another word, John chapter 3, verse 6 tells us that Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And the closing remark, the punchline, "Marvel not that I say unto you, Nicodemus, you must be born again." Shocked. A leader of Israel. Somebody who knew the law of God. A 30-some-year-old carpenter was telling him, "You must be born again." What does that mean? Jesus continued saying, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, where it wishes, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" A question I don't know if you've wrestled with, but I can tell you I've wrestled with that question. How can this be? How can the Spirit of the living God dwell in me? How do I surrender to the will of God? And Jesus was trying to tell him, there's only one way. And that way is to receive me. Amen? The only way. The way, the truth, and the life, to receive Jesus. In fact, John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 tells us the following. Or maybe we could go to verse 11. We read this in Sabbath school this morning. "He came unto his own, and his own" what? "Received him not. But as many as received them, to them gave he power to become" what, brothers and sisters? "The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of" what? "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." To be born of the Spirit is to be born of God. It's to have a relationship with God. Nicodemus was perplexed, startled. "You mean, Jesus, I don't have a relationship with God? I'm a 1,000-generation Jew." My great-great-great-grandparents heard the voice of God in the desert. I don't get it. What's all this about being born in the Spirit? Jesus answered him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that which we know, and testify that which we have seen. But you receive not our witness. And no man, verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Nicodemus, I just told you right now what the burden of your heart was all about. I just explained to you how you can enter the kingdom of heaven. I just told you that you need to be born again, born of the Spirit. You don't understand that? What if I told you, Nicodemus, that I am the Messiah? Would you believe me? What if I told you I am who I am? What if I told you I am the one who spoke to Moses in the desert? Would you receive me? Would you accept me? In fact, Jesus told him the following, verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. The Son of Man of which Daniel the prophet spoke about. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever what? Believes. Whoever trusts. Is that something easy, brothers and sisters, to do today? How many of you would go see a doctor who has no patience? How many of you would go to a mechanic who doesn't know anything about cars? It's hard to trust these days. In fact, I'm going to share with you a story of how difficult it is for us human beings to believe in the gift that God has given humanity. Happened 2 centuries ago, in the 1800s. Now I'll read it. In 1829, George Wilson and an accomplice received death sentences for murder and robbing mail trains. His accomplice quickly took a trip to the gallows. He was hanged. But Wilson had influential friends in Washington. These friends beseeched Andrew Jackson for leniency on behalf of their friend. And Old Hickory relented. In 1830, a year later, he pardoned Wilson for his capital crimes. The mail robber would only have to serve a 20-year term for his other misdeeds. Sounds like great news for Wilson. But when authorities presented him with the pardon, Wilson perplexingly refused to accept it. After much legal back and forth, Wilson's case came before the Supreme Court, which ruled that since the pardon was a bit of property, there was no legal way to force Wilson to accept it. Like his accomplice, Wilson was hanged. Believe. What does it take for us human beings to believe, brothers and sisters? What does it take for us to trust a loving God? What does it take for us to love a loving God? It's a question that I ask myself. God, does this happen? And there's a man who experienced something similar. And he understood that on his own strength, this would never happen. He could never achieve it. Has anybody heard of King David? He wrote a beautiful psalm, Psalm 51. After God had sent one of his prophets to speak to him and tell him, David, you've not only sinned against man, but you've sinned against God. And I like his prayer because it gives me hope. It gives me hope that that same transformation that David went through, that same transformation that later on Nicodemus would go through, is the same transformation that you and I can go through. Psalm 51, and I'm going to start with verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out what? My transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen. Basically, I was born in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me, wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. And the part that I hear, I want to emphasize, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy Spirit. Amen? How does this happen? David showed us surrender. Not 50%, not 90%, 100%. Amen? 100%. Everything. Everything is yours, God. May I do your will. May I do your will. And the invitation that I have for you today, receive Jesus. Receive him into your heart. He's the only one who can create in us a new heart. Amen? He's the only one who can help us once again be born of the Spirit, so that when people see us, they don't see Samuel. They see who? Jesus. And they see those fruits of the Spirit, which are what? Love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, patience, for the honor and glory of God. Amen? May God help us. May God help us to live for him. Amen.